Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us once again to our online vibe. And you've tuned in for a time of great excitement, great teaching, great inspiration, great enlightenment. So, hey, call up a friend, let them know we're on, and continue to just fellowship with us and vibe with us. We got music, we got teaching, we got joy, we got laughter. And once again, we want to address any pain that you may be feeling this morning, spiritually, physically, emotionally, or socially. Hey, Jesus is the way, truth, and the life, and we're going to give you him so that you can be set free. Father, we thank you for those who are tuning in right now. We just ask that you arrest every heart, that we may come to an agreement of your word, and we can move in agreement to what you've commanded and mandated us for us to do. Lord, be with us now through this service. We yield to your presence and power in your precious son's name, in Jesus Christ's name, we pray, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. We want to begin the praise and worship, and we'll be right back.
Chag HaSukkot HaZeh Zeman Simchatenu. This is the time of our rejoicing. Zeman Simchatenu. This is the time of our rejoicing. Zeman Simchatenu. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu, Melech haolam, shehegianu, v'kiyamanu, v'higianu, lazman hazeh. Hallelujah, Sukkot has come. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Sukkot has come. Hallelujah, this is the time. Zaman Simchatenu. This is the time of our rejoicing. Zaman Simchatenu. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu, Melech haolam, shehegianu, v'kiyamanu, v'higianu, lazman hazeh. Hallelujah, Sukkot has come.
It's amazing how we try to get God to bless us in a roundabout way. And when I say roundabout way, meaning, you know, go the opposite direction of blessing than pleasing God to get the right blessing. But imagine God responding to that.
Loving me in a special way, one more can I say?
You know you try to get to me with your senseless charm, yet you looked so alarmed as I walked away. Somehow in awesome wonder, you had to know why I did not respond to your carrying. So instead of that, God says, love me in a special way. What more can I say? Just love me now. Love me in a special way. Tell me what more. Average kind who'd accept any line that sounds good. And so reach into your chain of thoughts.
Try to find something,
something new. Maybe what worked for you so well, for me, it just won't do. Love you now. make me stay. Love me in a special way.
All right, once again, ladies and gentlemen, we're back, and I want to thank you for tuning in. Hey, if you're tuning in, let us know online. Let us know via our chat room. Please let us know. Text us, 321-345, WGGF, 321-345-9443. Let us know you're tuning in. As a matter of fact, as the announcements are playing, we want to encourage you to interact with each other online, to listen to the announcements, interact with each other. This is the online fellowship, and we need you to fellowship and interact so you can connect with people to various cities, states, and countries. So we're going to go to our announcements, and as we're in our announcements, we're going to give the opportunity to interact with one another. And when we come back, we're going to go right into our prayer, we're going to do our offering, then we go right into our word. Be right back. Did you know prayer is important to not only your spiritual well-being, but it can positively affect your physical well-being? Prayer is talking to God, your creator. That's why I want to invite you to join the prayer line every Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 6 a.m. and every Tuesdays and Thursdays at 12 p.m. But you don't know how to pray. No formula is more important than doing it regularly, if not daily. Give it a try and call 712-432-1500. That's 712-432-1500 and dial 500-527-pound for the access code. That's 712-432-1500, access code 500-527. That's your keys to get in. We'll be looking for you on the prayer line. See you then. Hello, my name is Dr. Weech, and I want to invite you to celebrate with us every 7th weekday morning at 11 a.m. for a time of fellowship, teaching, and instruction for advancing Elohim's kingdom. Join me for our online vibe and mingle Saturday, 11 p.m. right here on this station. It's an online vibe where you can enjoy the music, mingle, and hear God's instruction as we lift up Yeshua HaMashiach.
You're listening to WGGF Radio.
Log on to www.g2gfoundation.org. We'll see you then, and until then, shalom. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we just thank you for waking us up this morning. We thank you for life, health, and strength. We thank you for those who are out there listening right now, Father in heaven. We just thank you for allowing us to see another holiday in you, Father in heaven. We pray that we continuously honor these festivals, that they may draw glory to you, Father. And we just ask that continual understanding and wisdom, perpetual demonstration and guide of the Holy Spirit is ever present, that we move in a manner that's pleasing to you, and that we don't cause others to stumble, but we cause others to have a better understanding of who you are. As the writer writes, follow me as I follow Christ. We want to follow you so that others may follow us, and we're just the signpost appointing people to who you are. Father, we pray now for this service, that your hand is upon the man of God speaking. And we pray for those who are listening. And we just ask that you continuously draw increase. Continue to allow us to be faithful, hitting the ground and putting our hand to the plow, doing our best in due diligence to get the word out about your love, your Savior, our King, Yeshua, Jesus, the Christ. Father, we pray for this country. And we pray that justice and righteousness prevail in the earth realm, and that you establish your word to let nations know that just men, and that there is only one living Elohim God. Father, we pray for these courtrooms and these judges in these black robes. We pray for the kangaroo courts that do what they please and usurp the authority and morality and nature that you've implemented, O Father in heaven. We pray for these so-called courts to move in agreement of your word. And Father, we're just praying that you establish yourself in the earth realm as a righteous judge. We pray for the body of believers, for your word says, Father in heaven, that cleanup starts in the house of God. And we're asking that we can continuously get ourselves together, Father in heaven. We pray that we walk in a manner that's pleasing to you. We pray that we can show people that we are disciples, because your word says people will know you belong to me when we love. We continuously pray for the love. We continuously pray for the fellowship. We continuously pray for the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit, Heavenly Father. We pray for the politicians, the judges, all of these, Heavenly Father, who make up this country. We pray for righteousness to prevail, Heavenly Father. We pray for the minds of men to be drawn back to you. We thank you for the anointing and those who are raising up, walking in the anointing of Elijah to draw the hearts back to God and to draw the hearts, the fathers back to children, Heavenly Father. We thank you that secularization will not enter the church realm. We thank you that the only thing that will survive in the earth realm is your word. And we thank you that you've given us your word and the power to walk in that. We pray for those who are in the fellowship that you continuously encourage them. We pray for those from the hospitals now that the anointing will overtake the place and the people in the sick beds will be healed. Heavenly Father, we pray for those who are discouraged right now that their minds may be healed. We pray for that person in the hospital bed who is just laying there that they be encouraged and healed from the sickness of sin. Heavenly Father, they can be restored wholly. We thank you that the word heals, Heavenly Father. We thank you that we're confessing sins to one another and we're being healed, Heavenly Father. We pray for our brothers and sisters around the globe, Lord God, that you can continue to comfort them and we can continue to be mindful of them, Heavenly Father, looking and watching over them, that we don't forget them, Heavenly Father. We pray for our brethren in India, that we continue to encourage our brothers and sisters in India, Heavenly Father, that they may continuously do the work in due diligence. Father, we just thank you for your hand, and we thank you for the continued increase in the foundation. We continuously thank you for the wisdom to come about witty inventions, and we thank you for the power to support kingdom work, kingdom movement. We just ask that your hand is upon us, and Lord, we bless you and love you. In your precious Son name, in Yeshua's name we pray. In Jesus the Christ's name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. And Father, we just thank you that we're not being going off the reservation, looking for faulty doctrine, wasting time in arguments that are not fruitful, Heavenly Father. We just thank you that we're staying focused and like Nehemiah, staying on the wall and not coming down. We thank you for these prayers. Once again, Lord, in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Yeshua HaMashiach's name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. It is offering time. Remember, if you have a check or money order, you want to mail it to P.O. Box 472515, Miami, Florida 33247. And you're going to make it out to the G2G Foundation. If there's someone who wants to sow a seed in me, you can just make it out to Dr. Weech, and you can mail it to the same exact location. Father, we thank you for this offering. We thank you for those who are giving. And we thank you for being mindful in our givings as we're celebrating the Sukkot. The tabernacles, Heavenly Father, understanding that your presence, this is a symbolism of your presence dwelling with us. We just thank you that you're touching our hearts to give accordingly, to have you would have us to give, not under compulsion, not angrily, Heavenly Father, but willingly. And we thank you, and we know that this seed being sown will be going into good ground and doing, working towards the advancing of your kingdom. In Yeshua's name we pray, amen, amen, amen. Thank you.
of winter, underneath a cloudy sky, in the middle of December, you share the thinking why. Why do the leaves fall? Why does the sky fill up with gray? Where do the birds go?
Where do the birds go?
Think about it.
Seasons change.
It's gonna change. They always change.
Sometimes life is gray like winter, and the tears fall from your eyes. Your heart is cold like December, and you start to wonder why. Go my way,
go my way.
Why don't my friends call?
Get encouraged.
The seasons change.
They change.
Just like the bell has got to ring.
Just like the bell has got to sing. Just like the sun has got to shine.
Just like a pump has got to rhyme.
Just like a river has to flow.
The river,
just
the
like
river.
The wind has got to.
Now, thank you for still being here with us. It is now time for our word. And Father, we just thank you for the word, and we're going to bless your name in the word. We just ask that you open hearts and minds to receive understanding of your festivals, that we may be drawn closer to you, Father, understanding you've delivered us from the law of bondage and given us the law of love, which we can do all things to honor you in liberty and in thankfulness. Bless us now in your precious Son name, we pray. Amen, amen, amen. I want to thank you for tuning in, and we're talking about Sukkot. When we look at the Word of God, this is the last festival or feast Elohim, El Elyon, the Most High God, ordained and arranged and told the Israelite Hebrews, people of covenant, to participate in. We do know that we have Hanukkah coming up, and to those of you who celebrate Christmas. We look to Leviticus 23, verses 33. I wanted to look, I believe the Spirit of the Living Elohim moved me to look at these festivals, because I believe it's important that we understand why we do what we do, or if we should do the things that the law prescribed, whether we should do them any further. Now, again, I've been saying for some time, since Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and now the Feast of Sukkot, that since the Spirit of the Elohim has moved me to participate in these things, I've gathered a greater understanding of New Testament fulfillment in Yeshua, in Jesus, and I have a better understanding with respect to eschatology, the study of last things, and how all of these things are fulfilled in the Messiah, Yeshua. Now, in Leviticus 23, we want to look at what Sukkot was for, and I'm going to do a brief overview of this so we have some kind of understanding of what this is. But again, I do believe that the depths and the dimensions of going in Elohim God by His Holy Spirit are tremendous, at least 3D level, 3 depths level, 3D level. So we're going to go into just the first stages of this and see if we can get a better understanding and clarity of what Elohim prescribes. In Leviticus 23, verses 33 through 37, he says, "And the Tetragrammaton." Remember, the Tetragrammaton is the YHWH. It is the name that the high priest was designated to say when going into the most holy place, the Holy of Holies. And we dealt with this last week when we talked about, or dealt briefly with, the tabernacle. Now, and we said, again, this is why when we go into the most holy place, since Yeshua is a high priest entering the most holy place, we understand this is why Yeshua said, listen, when you pray, you seal that prayer in my name now, because as you go before El Elyon, the most high God, you're going to be in that most holy place. And instead of you calling on the Tetragrammaton, you're calling upon my name, because I'm the high priest ministering before you, interceding for you, because I'm seated right next to the person with all power and glory. It's been transferred to me. So understand that. So when we look at Leviticus 23 verses 33, I'm reading from the King James Version. I'll modernize this language because we don't speak doest thou and thus. It says, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of this seventh month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days unto the Lord, the Tetragrammaton. Now, he's designating these feasts for the Hebrews, the Israelites, people of covenant, if you will, because I believe it's very hard to say that people are, from this particular tribe or that particular tribe. We're all connected by the blood. You know, I found out recently that I had a family member that was Anglo, and I didn't know this. And I'm looking at so many family members that I didn't know I had, from cousin to first, second, and distant cousins sharing the last name. This is why we realize that we're all related into the family of Elohim. We'll do better to love one another. This is why the Messiah says, this commandment I give you is not a new commandment, but it's new in the mindset that you love like I loved you, to the point that I was willing to lay down my life. So if we're not going to, if we're not willing to lay down our life for someone, that means we're not willing to see after their best interests. Now, remember, laying down your life doesn't mean you're going to die for someone with respect to how Yeshua did. But it literally means that you're willing to do whatever is necessary to see your brother or sister not become hurt, injured, or maimed, especially in the body of Yeshua, the Messiah. So the Tetragrammaton, the holy name of God, this is the holiness of who he is telling him, keep this festival. And he says, on the first day shall be a holy convocation, meaning this should be a gathering. You shall do no servile work therein, meaning you shouldn't do any work. Now, again, remember I told you last week that when these festivals transpired or took place, these were Sabbaths. And these are the Sabbaths that have been abolished, if you will, if you're not partaking in these festivals. These are the Sabbaths that have been abolished. When you look in Leviticus 23, this shall be a Sabbath. This should be a holy convocation. Don't do any work. These are Sabbaths that Elohim is talking about. The Tetragrammaton is talking about Yahweh. These are the ones that he's talking about. He's not talking about the fourth commandment has been abolished. No, he's not saying that. And I know we need to deal with that on a greater magnitude and scale. But for now, let's hear this teaching. He says, 7 days you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord, and the 8th day shall be a holy convocation unto you, and you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. It is a solemn assembly, and you shall do no servile work therein. Again, that first day and that 8th day was a Sabbath. Now, people, these are the feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocation, to offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord, a burnt offering and a meat offering, a sacrifice and drink offerings, everything upon his day, besides the Sabbath of the Lord and besides your gifts. Now, he's basically saying, these are my convocations. Now, you often hear me refer to, I have problems with other man-made festivals. I do have a problem with these pastors' anniversaries, these pastors' appreciations, these pastors' birthdays. I have problems with that because Elohim told us not to do that. See, the one thing we'll say, well, we've been abolished from doing these things, but you implement it and do things to honor you, you see? And that's problematic to me because I often say, jokingly, that these appreciations, these all these other things are Ponzi schemes because only one person truly benefits. And I think when it comes to kingdom, God is no respect of person. If the pendulum goes tick, it has to go talk. You see? If it goes tick, it has to go talk. So I'm troubled that when we do these other festivals, church anniversary, all sorts of things that Elohim hasn't mandated or commanded us to do, but these things trump what Elohim word says because of tradition, man-made things, and origins, and because of denominational implementations. These are problematic, and I think when we're looking at what Elohim says, if we're saying we're not going to celebrate these, then we shouldn't celebrate that. You see what I'm saying? If we're going to do, if we're going to celebrate anything, I think we need to celebrate these out of love, not compulsion, not being mandated or obligated to do so, but doing it out of free will, offering and love, because we understand these things. Now, I can make a case that we do these things in a greater detail, but I just want to give you an overview, an understanding of what this is and how it reflects to the Messiah being the fulfillment and how it reflects to latter times. Now, if you go to Exodus 25, verses 8, I want you to understand that what Elohim is doing, and from the time of the fall, he's been restoring or working to restore man, Adam, to his original state. He's been working to restore man, Adam, to his original state. Well, let me say this. This is in my spirit now. We were never created to, in fact, worship God. We were never man's origin, his mindset, because he turned to the one true living Elohim and created devices and other pagan deities and nature to serve. We serve Elohim in the manner of pleasing him through obedience. Now, when we look at creation, we were never, ever created to worship God. People say we were created to worship. No, we were created in the original day to subdue, replenish, and have dominion. That was our original intent in creation. We were to act as gods on earth. God does not have an inferiority complex. I keep telling people that. An inferiority complex says, well, I'm going to create somebody so they can honor me and tell me how good I am. You've given the atheist arguments for inferior God, who has an inferiority complex. He's creating creatures to worship and tell him how good he is when things are really actually bad. So we were created to have dominion and to act in place or instead as Elohim, God on earth. And so when we fell, man fell from the day of Garden of Eden, God has been working to restore us to our rightful positioning, which he says now we're seated in heavenly places through Yeshua, the Messiah. And we're gods, again, on earth. We're sons of Elohim God. When you look at it in Exodus chapter 25, Exodus chapter 25, verse 8, it says, and let them make a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. You see? Elohim is working, so he wants. Now, the one thing I like about this, when you look at other religions, it says the gods are complex, the gods are complicated, the gods have no desire to engage in man's daily trivial living. But this particular God that we serve says, I'm very much desirous to dwell with you, I'm very much desirous to hang out with you, I'm very much desirous to chill with you, and I'm very concerned in your day-to-day activity and interactions with respect to how you please me and what is best for you. Elohim has us on his mind because remember, Yeshua says, hey, the hairs on your head numbered. This is how intimately connected your Father is to you. So we see in Exodus 25, verse 8, he says, let them make a sanctuary for me that I may dwell among them. God is holy. We must remember that. So his mindset is, I want to hang out with y'all. I want to chill with y'all. This is why the Messiah was angry when he saw all this nonsense in his house. And he took that cord and started slapping folks and getting the junk out of their seats. My daddy house, man, what y'all doing? Y'all going to come in my Father's house and rearrange the furniture and put him out of his house? That's literally what they did. They put him, Elohim, out of his own house and say, we are running this. He says, no, 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 no. Y'all lying devils. Y'all get out of here. This is still my Father's house. And it's called, it should be a house of prayer for all nations. And y'all turn into a den of thieves trying to crook and take advantage of the people. How dare you? How dare we? I've met some people who are disgruntled with the church, disgruntled with the body of Christ. But hey, I understand your disgruntledness. I'm disgruntled. We got to get back to our first love, to back to what the word says. But it ain't no sense for you talking about it and not doing nothing to help it out, to help perfect it, bring it together. Ain't no sense in going all around the corner doing that. So he says, Elohim is concerned. Man, I want to chill with y'all. Do you know that? Person, sir, ma'am, if you're not in Yeshua, if you're not connected, you have not committed your life to God, God's concerned with that. God isn't somebody that says, I want to punish you. I want to make it rough for you. No, he's someone that says, hey, I want to love you. I want to chill with you. God is going through great lengths and measures to say, man, I just want to hang out with you. I just want you to come on the sofa, kick back your legs, and let's just talk. Let's just dialogue. Do you know when Isaiah says, come on, man, let's talk. Let's reason together. God is reasonable, but God is holy. So you can't say, hey, I know God, and you're living any kind of way. God said, man, come on, man. If I want you hanging out of my house, I want you to know the protocol. I want you to know the appropriate decorum. I want you to know the proper behavior. So we can vibe, man. I want you to have open access to my house. And matter of fact, when you come in, I want you to be my child, in a sense. I want to reconnect you to let you know I'm really your father. What's that movie when he says, I'm your father? God said, I'm your father. I'm your daddy. You're royalty. I want to give you the best in life. I want to give you the best life for you while you live. Life don't need to be hard for you where you're continuously running to failure after failure. He wants it to be easy for you. Now remember, let's go back to Genesis, because I know in the beginning we have to establish most things, if not everything. In the beginning, we see that Adam, man, remember Adam means man because he was taken from the dust of the ground, and the dust means Adama, which gives us Adam. We see that Elohim wants to restore everything from the original or back to the original creation. So when we look at Genesis 2:15, we see even Adam was tabernacling, or Elohim was dwelling with Adam. It says, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. They're hanging out here. And what the God, he gave him his word, and he says, it's not good for man to be alone. But look what happens here in verse 19. Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them to Adam, man, to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all the cattle, to the fowl of the air, and to the every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not a helpmate. We see here God on earth, Adam, and God of the universe are dwelling together. They're chilling out. They're interacting. They're vibing. You see? This is what Elohim desires for us. He wants to hang out with us. He wants to hang out with us. So now let's go to Leviticus chapter 26. Leviticus chapter 26, verses 11 through 12. And look what it says in verse 11, chapter 26, Leviticus. And I will set my tabernacle among you, and you and my soul shall not abhor you, and I will walk among you, and will be your God, and you shall be my people, because I've saved you out of Egypt. The same mentality, the same mindset, Yeshua says, I want to be with you. I want to walk among you. And this was fulfilled when we look at John 1:14. We return to John 1:14. He says, I will walk among you. Watch this now. John understood what was happening here. John understood the Messiah came to Sukkot, tabernacle, and chill and dwell with us. In John chapter 1, verses 14, he says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Some translations have, he tabernacled with us. You see? You got to remember, during the Old Testament, the tabernacle was encamped in the midst of a garden. So Elohim literally was around the people. He surrounded the people. So Elohim just wants to tabernacle with us. So John understood this word being made flesh. He tabernacled with us. And basically, Sukkot means tent or hut. And the word here used in the Greek, where John uses dwelt, it means tent or hut. Same word. John understood exactly what he was saying. That Sukkot means tent or hut. And in the New Testament, where John used this word dwelt, he's saying tent or hut. So God wanted to be our tent. He wanted to be our covering. He wanted to be our fortified place of refuge. And this is why John says we beheld his glory, because in the tabernacle, in the most holy place, the Shekinah glory fell upon in that place and lit it up. The physical presence of God, you see, the Shekinah glory. That's why John says he dwelt, he tabernacled with us, and we beheld his glory. His visible presence of glory, we was able to see it. You see? So John knew exactly what he was talking about. But you got to understand, this thing goes deeper. It goes deeper. He wants to tabernacle with us. He wants to dwell with us. Look at what he's saying. Go to John chapter 14. The Bible is so perfect. This Sukkot is just not a random thing, a trivial thing. These festivals were put in place for a specific reason. Elohim understood exactly what he wanted to do with respect to these festivals. This isn't him just saying, I want you to do this to make your life difficult. This is not what he was doing. He had plans. His whole mindset was, I want my family back. He was fighting the enemy. He was fighting Satan. He was fighting everything that opposes God, because he says, I want my family back. This is why some people say you got to fight for your marriage. You got to fight for your family. Hey, Yeshua fought for us. He fought in heaven. It was Michael and the angels, and Satan got kicked out. He said, I'm coming to earth. I'm following you. I'm kicking you out of the earth realm as well. Back to the pits of Hades. Yeshua fought for us. And he says, I am the one that was dead. I live, and I got the keys of death and life in my hand. He snatched them from the enemy. That's what this is about. This is a love affair. This is a love affair. God said, Elohim said, I love y'all, and I want my family back. Enemy, I'm taking back everything you stole. And that is our spirit of our Father, Abba, we have in us to go after that enemy and take back everything he stole. We should want to see every family member saved in Yeshua, blood bought, born again, living righteous and holy before the Lord under the ever power presence of Holy Spirit. Kadesh Ruach. Hagias Pneuma, Holy Spirit. All right, now, in John 14:15, it says, if you love me, keep my commandments. I like this because he's saying you have the power. It's conditional. If you love, you will do. He says, and I pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it doesn't see him nor know him, but you know him, for he what? Dwells with you and shall be in you. This is what this tabernacle thing is about. God dwelling with you, God getting in you. You see? God dwelling around you, among you. Now he wants to get in you. He see? He dwells with you. So when we see that Old Testament being in the fulfillment where the tabernacle was there and God was dwelling among them, dwelling with them, he says, I'm just setting you up because in this new covenant, when it's fulfilled, which is a better covenant, I'm going to dwell not only with you, I'm going to dwell in you. I'm no longer going to be among you, but I'm going to house my presence. I'm going to tabernacle. I'm going to set the tent up. I'm going to set up the shop, the hut in you and live. Now, in Leviticus 26, when it says I will set my tabernacle, 26:11, thank God for notes. In Leviticus 26:11, that tabernacle means the wooden walls, literally referring to the construction of the tabernacle. And with respect to this saying, I will dwell with you or in you, he's literally talking about the construction of the tabernacle, meaning your body. He's going to dwell in your body. That's the construction thereof. Now, let's move along. We're almost done. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Listen, this whole tabernacle thing is about God getting in you. God getting in you and around you, being around you. That's all it's about. God getting in you and around you. Now, when we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, it says, this is the Apostle Paul, and I say he'll be called Dr. Paul because he was a scholar. He says, don't you know that you are the temple of God? What? Watch this. And the Spirit of Elohim dwells in you. Oh, this makes so much sense. I can tell you, I thank the Holy Ghost for giving impartation. Because I'm like, how are we going to teach Sukkots? How are we going to teach Sukkots the dwelling? And the Holy Ghost says, look around you. I'm dwelling all over the place. And this is just about me not only getting around you to dwell with you and chill with you, but this is about getting in you. So that we are one. Remember the Messiah, Yeshua says, Father, that they may be one, as you and me are one. Yeshua wants to set up his kingdom. Yeshua wants to set up his world order, which is a monarchy. He wants to set up a monarchy. So he says that we are one. So he says, don't you know that the Spirit of Elohim dwells with you? And if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy. And you are the temple? The temple. He says, now you are literally the tabernacle. Why? Because the power of God himself dwells in you. He dwells in you. Are you following me? Now let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 23. Watch this. This is important now. He just says, don't defile that temple. And look what God did. Remember, Paul was excellent with respect. He was a scholar with the law and the prophets. He was a scholar with the Old Testament. So since he had the Holy Spirit that was dwelling in him, the Holy Spirit was able to open his eyes. You see? He refers to it in Moses when Moses came off the mountain. He had that veil on, that parting, that separated the old and the new. They didn't have the impartation to understand it, but now with the Messiah and the presence of God dwelling in us, that veil has been removed. Like in the temple, remember in the temple when Yeshua was on the cross, that veil tore, the earthquake and the veil tore. The veil has been lifted so we can have an understanding and see clearly what Elohim was doing through his Messiah, Mashiach, Jesus, Yeshua. Now, when we look at Deuteronomy chapter 23, we just read how the writer writes, the Spirit of God, Spirit of Elohim dwells in you. Whenever you hear me say Elohim, it just literally means God. Okay? Elohim means God. Now, in Deuteronomy 23:14, and we're almost done. Look what it says. For the Lord, the Holy Tetragrammaton, your Elohim, walks in the midst of your camp to deliver you and to give up your enemies before you. Therefore shall your camp be holy, that he shall see no unclean thing in you and turn away from you. You see? Now, remember we said with that Azazel, he took those sins away. It's you who go after those sins and bring it back up. And when you bring it back up, you're causing Elohim to say, man, I don't want to be a part of you. It's very challenging for me to dwell with you when you're going to defile the temple. This is why when he removed those sins, he wants you to stay connected in him. Because watch this, he says, what verse is that, 14? For the Lord, the Tetragrammaton, your God, walks in the midst of your camp to deliver you and to give up your enemies before you. Therefore shall the camp be holy. Remember, he's saying you got to be holy, that no unclean thing is you, and I turn away from you. The Messiah fulfills these words when he's talking to the disciples, and he says, aside from me, you can do nothing. Remember that. He says, aside from me, you can do nothing. Okay? So we understand, we got to stay rooted, grounded, and understand that God is holy and protect the temple so no unclean thing comes upon us or around us and he departs from us. Remember when we look at Samson, he told everything, Delilah, everything that was in his heart, and the Spirit of God departed from him because he grieved the Holy Spirit and he kept getting around or staying around that unclean thing. That's why Yeshua says, aside from me, you can do nothing. If you stay connected, you do greater works. Okay? You do greater works. So this Sukkot is about God just basically tabernacling within us. He tabernacled with the disciples quickly. He stayed connected to them. And he says, it's better that I go so I can send you another comforter who's going to stay connected and sit inside of you. Are we following? Now, finally, let's go to Zacharias. And this is why I say this is the argument that we should or be mindful or rethink our strategies with respect to honoring these festivals, these seven that Elohim gave. Now, one was added, which is Hanukkah, and that was for the sake of honoring what the Maccabean movement did in cleansing the temple when Antiochus came and defiled the temple sacrificing swine on the altar. Now, I'm not going to make the argument to say you shouldn't eat pig, but if the temple was defiled because they were sacrificing swine, what do you think would happen to your temple when you ingest that stuff? I know we've been liberated from the law, but we still got to be mindful of what we're putting into our temples, okay? And I'm not saying if you're eating pig, God is going to run from you. No, I'm just saying, be mindful of what we're putting into our bodies. Is it really healthy? And can we really do without pig? He's given us so much other things to eat. The goat, the lamb, the bullock, so the dove even still. So there are so much other things we could, well, not the dove, but so many other things we can eat. Let's partake in those things. Now, this is the argument that's made for us to honor these festivals, or at least be mindful and to reconsider whether or not we should do these out of love, not out of a mandate, not that we're required, but out of love, okay, to remember these things. And let me just add this. Yeshua also added one more festival we should participate in, and that's the Lord's Supper. Remember, he also gave us the Lord's Supper. Now, in Zechariah 14, chapter 14, 16, it says, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles, to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And it shall be that whoever will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to the king, worship the king, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. And if the family of Egypt go not up and come not, that have no rain, there shall be the plague, wherewith the Lord shall smite the heathen that comes not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. This punishment, this shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all nations that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, has all the nations been punished for not keeping the Feast of Tabernacles? Was this just Old Testament prophecy? Well, we got to examine that. So I do believe that this is still a festival that Elohim wants us to keep. Why? Because it reminds us, I die for the sins so I can dwell, not just chill out around you, but dwell inside of you. I've died so I can give you a greater portion of covenant. I can give you me. This is why we're heirs seated in heavenly places with him. Because we're part of him now. So God couldn't destroy mankind or us because we're connected to him. If he wipes us out, he'll erase himself from existence. You see what I'm saying? We're connected to him. This is good stuff. Hallelujah. So we see that this is the argument for. He says now, they need to keep these Feasts of Tabernacle. It shall come to pass that left of all nations which came against Jerusalem, if they don't keep it or worship the king that monarchy is established, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And verse 18 says, the Lord will smite the heathen that comes not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. This is the punishment for all nations that doesn't keep it. That doesn't keep it. Now, finally, we see that I think the argument can be made. At least this is one festival that we ought to keep. And this is Zechariah talking to a bit of eschatology to what's going to happen to the nations that does not honor the king, that does not honor these Feasts of Tabernacles. Now, I think we could even make that argument with Paul when he says this is the unleavened bread that we keep. This is the Passover. Yeshua is our Passover. Now, he's referring to the Corinthians in the Corinthian letter. Now, let me tell you why I believe this is the fulfillment of all things with respect to reflection, that we dwell with him. He's dwelling among us. He's dwelling in us. When we look at Revelation chapter 21, verse 22. Now, remember, Revelation is the last Revelation is the last book of the Bible. Revelation 21, verse 22. And it says, watch this. This is John seeing the fulfillment of everything. He's literally seeing the vision of Revelation, which the tetragram of God the Father gave Yeshua, his son. Yeshua is giving this to John and says, hey, write it down and keep it open. Remember, the books were sealed, but he says, open this one up. In Revelation 21, verse 22, he says, and I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of a sun nor moon to shine, for the glory of God, the Shekinah, lit it up, and the Lamb lit it up. You see? So we're seeing the fulfillment in Yeshua. We're seeing the fulfillment in the Father. The high priest went into the most holy place once a year, said the tetragrammaton, the glory Shekinah of God was revealed. The physical presence of him was revealed. Yeshua came down. He died for our sins. He's the high priest. His physical glory, he dwelt among us. And John says, we beheld his glory. Why? He resurrected from the dead. We seal our prayers in Jesus' name, in Yeshua's name. We beheld his glory now because we're connected in him because of the tabernacling. He's indwelling in us. We can be in him and we can see him as he is. And therefore, when we get there, there needs no need to be a tabernacle. There needs no need to be a temple for the Shekinah glory of the Father, the Shekinah glory of the Son. And since we're connected and he dwells in us, the glory will not kill us, but the glory we can appreciate. And we're going to be the lights of the city. That's why Yeshua says, I am the light of the world. That's why we're seated in heavenly places. We can see him as he is. There's no need for the temple. Why? Because we are the temple. We're joined to him. We have the spirit of Elohim. Do you not know you're the temple of God? This is why you don't need the temple. Because now the Shekinah glory of the Father, the Shekinah glory of the Son is emanating in the temple. We are the temple. Do you see the importance of tabernacling? to honor this festival, to have understanding. Get it, get it, get it, get it. Let me stay here for a minute. There's no need for the temple, because do you not know your body is the spirit of God and you're the temple? So as we're in his presence, we're in the most holy place. We're going to be exposed to Shekinah forever and ever. And remember, when the priest walked in the most holy place, there was darkness. There was no light, except the only light that could be revealed was the Shekinah glory. When God says, I'm pleased with the offering. Here's my glory to show you. Yeshua went to that holy place. He died for our sins. His sacrifice was accepted. That blood hit the mercy seat. He's seated right next to the Father. Shekinah glory. He rose from the dead. Glorious. You see what I'm saying? Now, he's given us his Holy Spirit. We're seated in heavenly places. We are the temple. That's why there's no need for a temple. We're in his presence. Shekinah Father, glory. Shekinah Son, glory. Amen. This is why we're living holy, and we're living our lives to please him. Father, we thank you for this word, and we thank you for Sukkot. We thank you for the tabernacling feast. We thank you for you giving us understanding to it, and we just ask, Father, continue to help us honor you properly during these times of year, during these mandated festivals you've required. Or not required, but out of love, we're saying you required it. Give us wisdom, Father, and those who don't participate, deal upon their heart, Heavenly Father, so that they have liberty, that they can do what is pleasing in your sight, and that they can mature in love, Father, because we know your word says that if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Father, we pray for those that don't know you, that they commit their lives to you, and we thank you for those who are coming into the kingdom in droves. In your precious son's name we pray. In Yeshua HaMashiach's name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Shalom. May the Lord bless and keep you. The Lord lift his face upon you, be gracious to you. The Lord shine his countenance upon you. His name says he will be on you, and his word says he will bless you. Shalom, everyone. Thank you.
Yevarechecha Adonai ve'ish merecha ya'e Adonai.
Listening to WGGF Radio. Good news, good music talk radio.